is here, and I'm going to give you this thought, and then we need everybody to stay and help us. We need to see a bunch of you before you leave here tonight, and or over at the fairground. Brother John, tonight, we need to see you for a second, because I guess you'll be going over yonder. And good night. I don't know who all. Maybe Brett, you'll be around for a minute. I need to ask you something. Stephan, all y'all that in our special groups, we're having to readjust our schedule. The man who's supposed to help with the sound system tomorrow is out of town, stuck, and can't get a plane ticket home, and he won't be home until Tuesday night. So that's going to throw us behind on our sound. And what happens is all that stuff starts piling up at the end of the week, and then it's impossible to do. Because everybody thinks their job is all there is, and there's stuff got to be done Monday, there's stuff got to be done Tuesday. If it don't, it'll all hit you and can't be done on Friday. So we need the ladies to work tomorrow. We need a bunch of you come help set up chairs and get them fixed Tuesday, and I'll be asking for hands. So you'd be thinking if you can come over Tuesday. John chapter 1. Now what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is bringing somebody. Look at John chapter 1. And look at verse, let's see here, 30, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now look what he did when he heard the preacher. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Look what that man did. I ain't through reading. Hold your finger there. First thing that man did when he got right with the Lord is God went and got his brother and brought him. I've noticed that over and over and over and over. When people get right with God, the first thing they do is get a burden for their immediate family. That's the very first thing you do. You think, my mama not saved. My daddy's not saved. My brother's not saved. My sister's not saved. That's normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way you know you got right with God. Verse number 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to bring people. I want you to bring people. You know people that you can bring. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip, and said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. See how one got one, this got one, that got one, that got one. Every one of them started getting people. And Brett said to him, we have found him. Let me show you something, y'all. People don't read the Bible enough to be scriptural. I hear preachers preach all the time saying, I didn't find the Lord, he found me. That ain't what that says. Philip said, we found him, didn't it? You say, well, the truth is, I found him and he found me. I heard people say, I didn't find the Lord, he wasn't lost. Well, duh, we know that. You found him when he found you. We found each other. People say, well, I wasn't looking for the Lord. Well, I don't know about that. When conviction come on you, you was. I was when I got convicted. Now, look at what it says here. We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. And then he goes on and on and on and on, and they keep finding people and bringing them. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple things that people say to keep from coming to church, and you always got to have a comeback. Somebody says, I ain't going. You're supposed to have a comeback. You know what I do when I try to witness somebody? I knock out their excuses. Somebody told me this week, they said, well, I got to work Sunday. I said, you got to work Sunday morning and Sunday night? They said, no, I get off 5. I said, okay, come Sunday night. I knocked out their excuse. They thought when they said, I got to work Sunday, I'd just hush and accept that. But I ain't accepting that. If you get off at 6, come in your work clothes. You take away every excuse that a person has. No matter what it is, ain't no excuse for not being right with God. Ain't no excuse for not being saved. Need to see you too, Jamie, before you get gone. There ain't no excuse for being... My mind's thinking other things while I'm doing this, y'all. You ought to try it sometime. Listen, you need to make up your mind. Whatever excuse they give you, you're going to knock it out. Sort of like somebody's propped up on something, kick it out from under them. And then they'll fall on something else, kick it out from under them. Let me give you something they give you tonight, and you're going to have... Now, what I want you to do... You make up your mind. I'm going to get my brother to come to the youth rally. I'm going to get my sister to come to the youth rally. I'm going to get my mom and daddy to come to the youth rally. I told you the other night, some of our big groups, got a couple of big groups in Florida, won't be there this year. So we'll probably have 100 of our regulars, 150 that are not there. That gives us the opportunity, brother, of just filling that place up with our own people. There was a couple of times, last year and year before, there wasn't no room for nobody. There was people standing around the walls, and there was people. Somebody asked me, they said, Danny, it'd be a lot easier just to have it at the church. Well, you can't get 1,000 people in here. I mean, it's impossible. So we don't do it over because it's fun. We do it because we have to. We don't have no choice. There's not a place in this town big enough at a place like that. And so anyway, we're going to get our people to come, your neighbors. You get the guy that lives down the street. Get his kids to come, your sister's kids, your sister's family. I've got stories that I'm going to be using Friday night where there's 15-year-old girls who got on Facebook, and all their friends at school started talking about her. Said one, you know what they did to this one girl? A little preview for Friday night. They all hated, you know how girls do, they all hate one girl, and about 5-6 of them in the class hated this one girl, and every time she walked in the classroom, they'd act like they're throwing up, and they were doing, and just tortured that girl. And it got on the internet and started. Now, years ago, when it was really bad, a mama could just take her kid out of school and put them in another school. That don't work now, because that internet, that bullying still goes on those books. And brother, they got on there and started calling her ugly, and they said her nose is big, and they said she is this, and so just talking awful. And of course, you know what happened? It was a suicide. Not long after that. And you know what? I'm gonna be telling stories like that. You know, every teenager in America needs to be there for Friday night and Saturday night. You know why? Because the world don't have the what to offer them what we've got. We got the answer, brother. I know what they need. I know what they need. There's a lot I don't know, but I know what they need. And brother, you know what? We're going to talk about that Friday night, and you got to do this. You got to take away their excuses. Here's what some people say. They say, well, we provide a church. We're having the youth rally. They know where it's at. They've seen the sign. If they want to come, they'll come. That's not the right attitude. That's not the right attitude at all. Our attitude is, hey, we're having this thing Friday night, your neighbors, I want y'all to come and bring your kids. We're having this thing, I want you to come and bring your kids. And by the way, one of the greatest joys that you'll ever see as a Christian is to see somebody walk the aisle and get right with God that you personally have invited and see their life change. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. One of the biggest blessings outside of getting saved is seeing somebody get saved that you invited to church. I'm telling you, brother, you talk about getting your dopamine levels up. I mean, you talk about being happy. You talk about getting on a high. You let somebody walk that aisle that you brought to church that night. You'll say, glory to God, I like this. I want to do this all the time. Our buses are going to be running. We're going to run buses Friday night and Saturday night. Some of them are going to come all day for Saturday. Bus kids running everywhere. I'm telling you, you take away their excuses. Somebody said this. They said, I live right. Here's what somebody told me. They said, I live right in front of people, and they can see my life. That's how I witness. Now, that is a cop-out chicken half-truth that the devil has put off on you. That's what that is. You'd be surprised at the people that believe you're not supposed to witness with your mouth. You're just supposed to let your light shine. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't never been nobody saved by somebody's light shining. You might get somebody interested. You might get somebody wondering. But your life don't need to lead nobody to the Lord. Your lips do. And I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, you're supposed to witness with your lips as well as your life. And by the way, your lips and life supposed to say the same thing. Your lips ain't supposed to say one thing and your life say something else. Our lips and life supposed to match.
I'm going to tell you tonight, we owe it to our neighbors. We owe it to our little boys and girls. We have in our chance this week. I know the devil's fighting us. I mean, brother, I've had a terrible week. It's been awful. It's been a fight this past week like I ain't been in many a year. Just one thing right after another. I'm going to tell you something, by God's grace, God's still on His throne. God ain't never got weak. God's still able. He can do it again. In our weakness, He is strong. And thank God, He's able to do what He always does. We've got a chance to have a great youth rally if we'll let the Lord help us tonight. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we're taking away their excuses. Somebody else said this. They said, pray for the Lord to get a hold of them. That's a half truth too. We're supposed to pray for the Lord to get a hold of them, then we're supposed to go out and get them and talk to them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we're supposed to sit around and pray that God will send sinners to church. I can show you a bunch of places where it said for us to go out and get them. I've told you before, and it's always come to my mind. I was preaching down in Florida, and me and the preacher went out in front of the church, and he said, right down the road here, we're going to have a big night on Friday night. And I was going to do a video on rock music, and he told me, he said, Brother Danny, right down the road here is a trailer park. Right down the road here is a trailer park. He said, there's 16 registered sex offenders in them two trailer parks. 16 that we know about. That we know about. And I thought, boy, you know what? The devil's got his workers out there working. You think, and I'm going to tell you tonight, you may sit there tonight and think, I'm all right. My family's saved. I ain't fasting. I ain't putting nothing in this youth rally. Why does he want to push us so much? Why? I'll tell you why. Because you don't know what plan the devil's got for your kid. You don't know. They may be little angels right now, and 5 years from now, they'll be driving you crazy. You'll be down at the jail. They'll be down at the rehab. Brother, one of them will come home with a sexually transmitted disease. Somebody will break up and kidnap one of them. You don't know. You don't know. None of our kids are safe without the protecting hand of God upon them. Brother, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. I got them grandkids sitting over there. I want them to see God. I want them to grow up knowing what's right. I want them to grow up knowing that what I believe right, what the Bible says is right. I want them to grow up knowing that's what I want to do with my life. I was there. We can't sit around and be dead and not do nothing for God, because our kids will pay the price for it one of these days. Somebody said this. They said, that's the last days. That's just the way it's going to be. It is. It is. That's true. But God can still do it in the last days. Somebody else said, I don't have any personality. I can't tell bring nobody to church. I'm not gifted like you, Brother Dan. I've had people say, but you can talk. Listen, you ought to heard me make, I hated in class, I hated speech. I had a speech class in high school and I hated it. I said, I ain't going to get up there and make no speech. Okay? And I still don't, believe this or not, I still don't like to get up in front of a bunch of people and talk. Now, preaching is different. When I pray and I know I'm ready to preach, it don't matter. I don't care if there's 10 million people there. It don't bother me a bit. But I tell you, you can ask the Lord to help you. Moses couldn't even talk plain. And he witnessed. He was one of the greatest in the Bible. I mean, you don't have to be, Lord, you don't have to be Rush Limbaugh to be able to witness somebody. I mean, use what you got. Say, come to church. I mean, brother, I mean, you can do it. Amen. I mean, you don't have to be an oratorical genius. You don't have to have a degree in English. Just say, come to the church. Come to the youth rally and beg them to come. All right. Somebody else said this. They said this. Like the karate. Did you hear about the karate student? Who, the first time he joined the army, first time he saluted, he'd like to kill himself. That's what you do. Use what talent God give you for the glory of God. Every excuse. Do like that little boy said he's out in the yard. He said, watch, Daddy! Watch me! He took a ball like that and he threw it up. And missed it. He said, wait a minute! He picked it up and he threw it up like that. Missed it again. Daddy said, strike two. He threw it up like that, and he threw it up like that, and he went, missed again. Ain't I a good pitcher? That's what I ought to do, amen. I mean, if you fail one way, He struck himself out, man. That's pretty good. That's pretty good picture to do that. I will tell you something, brother. Listen, if a door closes here, go over there. If they say no, ask them. If one sister says no, call the other sister. If somebody says I ain't coming, call somebody else. Ask God to give you the words. Let's all ask God to give us the words, give us a burden, and go after them Friday night and Saturday night. I'm going to say this, and I'm done. Every year, people ask me, and they're going to ask you, I can only come one night. Which night would be best? You get that? Don't you get that? Sometimes I say, come Friday. Because if they like it, they get right, then they'll come back Saturday. But if they swear it down, I got to work one, they're only going to come one, then if they're saved and need to get right with God, you know, either night, really. Saturday would probably be, if you had to choose one, I'd say come Saturday. But take away their excuses. Say come Friday and Saturday. And if they're a teenager, 15, 16, 17, either one. Both them things, Friday and Saturday night, are essential for young people. So do it that way, okay? All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and I'm going to pray with you. Then we're going to work.